I may pray for the reading of the word. Father, we do ask that you would bless the reading of your word. Let it sink deep into our hearts. Keep us from being offended. Help us to be wide-eyed and looking for the blessing that you have today through the reading of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have sought us, found us, saved us, given us hope. Lord, we thank you that you have established and ordained that we should be part of your family, and that we should have families, that we should have mothers, fathers, and children. We see from your word that this is your will. We thank you for the faith of our mothers, that you have, by your Spirit, ordained that children should be taught according to your word. And we thank you that very oftentimes the mothers have taken this responsibility. And we do pray for our own here today, that there would be joy, that the word would not condemn but encourage. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
A perfect fitting conclusion in that prayer, Trevor, that you'd see the word not as condemning but as healing, I hope. And today we want to look at the high value of a woman who fears the Lord from Proverbs 31:30. It's so clear, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But the thought occurred to me, if your soul, any one of us, if it rises upwards to God in awe and wonder and worship, then the life of Christ, which indwells you, will be shed abroad to everyone that you know in every sphere or influence of your life. And I think that's what, you can look at Proverbs 31 and see great compliments given from this man toward his wife. But you think, how can anyone possibly do that, all of that? But yet we can think with Christ in us, His joy, His glory spreads to every area of life if the soul rises upward to God in worship, if our first look is to Him. What does the world value most in a woman? You think of the poison that has been planted in the hearts of many, many young women today. Is it talent or beauty or charisma? Is it wealth, success, intelligence, strength, fitness, self-confidence, sensuality? What does the world value the very most? I think that's maybe a partial list. But what does God value most in a woman? And how important is that? How high should that rank on your scale of importance? The world will chant, these are the important things. The world will try to sell you on the fact that first and most, you have to be somebody. But God has a value on women that is different from the world. There's so many verses in the Bible. The first one that came to my mind was 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And he's speaking to wives, but I thought, well, he's speaking to wives, but there's training in girls. Young girls learn this from youth. It's instilled in women, godly women, many of the things that he mentions. But there's the virtues that are of great value in God's eyes. And Peter's speaking to believing married women, but the spirit of the virtues can be emulated by Christian women everywhere. It's true for all women, every place, everywhere, at all times. Submission to her husband is first on the list. And obviously that's directed toward married women, and it's very, very important because each of us are called to submit ourselves to God. If you can't submit yourselves in an earthly relationship to someone who's seen, you can't submit yourself to God. And it's not an imprisonment, but it is a command to a woman, and the woman is under orders of the living God to do this. So it is a good thing that God calls the woman to. But Peter goes on to say, he encourages believing women who has unbelieving husbands, saying that her very most powerful witness will be through her quiet, submissive behavior. If you want to know how do you minister to a lost husband, if you're married and you have a lost husband or you know someone who is, Peter gives the response right here. How should you live? There's power in quiet, submissive behavior. But the other virtues that he mentions as well applies to all believing women and should be carried out and lived in order to do something. And that do something would be in order to please God. Peter includes purity and reverence in verse 2. He talks about the inward beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And he says, this is of great worth in God's sight. That matters the most. What matters to God should matter most to you and to me. It should matter most to us as men as well, because when we think of these are the things that God values, these are the things that we too should value. And as men, it's real easy to be caught up into the flow of the world and start looking at things that are sensual and start looking at all the charming things that are outward rather than most grabbing hold of what God finds most important. We play a large role in the formation of the character and the direction of a woman's life, in particular your wife and your daughters and the daughters in our church. Men, we have a part to play in that. And then Peter adds that she would do what is right without giving way to fear. Oftentimes, doing what is right is looked down upon, especially if it looks like service, especially if it looks like giving. And the world would say, you're not getting anything back, so don't give it. Don't do, because you'll be taken advantage of. But do what's right in God's sight without giving way to fear. It's one of the most important aspects of a godly woman and a Christian in general is having humility. It takes godly humility and it takes devotion to God to cultivate these qualities in your life. You have to trust in the Lord and what He says and commit yourself to Him. If you seek to be a woman that God highly esteems, you'll add to your life things that will help these virtues grow, in particular humility and devotion. Consider the power of cultivating a humble spirit. God says in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, the second part, and he's speaking to men and women, but today we're speaking to women. I want you to take this to heart. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Humility before God, the kind of humility that God loves, that is a genuine, humble attitude toward God, directs his grace like an arrow shot to your life. The word of God encourages every believer in this. And again, I want every woman to especially listen and receive this today, to clothe yourself in humility one toward another. For this simple reason, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God will not resist a humble spirit, but he will resist the proud in heart. He despises haughty eyes, but he blesses the humble and contrite. So while the world may not identify and value godly virtues, what matters most is that God does, and God loves them. And this is to encourage you to persevere and to press on. So as we go to Proverbs 31, you may be thinking that this chapter contains the unobtainable life. I don't want you to think like that today. I don't want you to think like that at all. I want you to see something. I want you to see that there's one essential virtue, that if you start there, everything else will be in place, and everything else will unfold as God intends it to unfold. If you zero in on cultivating this one virtue, and we have yet, we'll name it here in a minute, and we already have once, but if you caught it, you know what I'm talking about. But if you zero in on this one virtue, the ones which we've already mentioned will fall into place as well. These things will grow and sprout and become beautiful in God's sight. When you read Proverbs 31, I think it's probably one of those Father's Day messages, historically, at least when I was growing up, was the day fathers wished they had never been born. Because that was their day to get raked over the coals and challenged, what are you doing or what are you not doing? And Proverbs 31 is not used in that way to cause you to think, look at what I'm not doing. That's not the intent of it. I don't believe it is. I don't think God operates that way. And so you're not sitting here, I hope you're not sitting here and really taking seriously the question, how can one woman do all these things? How can one woman possess so many gifts? What if she did? What if a woman did possess all these gifts? Would you brag in her, or would you be saying God has endowed her with such marvelous gifts? But I can tell you this one thing, God would never take claim for it if it wasn't for the primary virtue that we're going to look at here in just a minute. Because if you remember, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I don't think this chapter is saying that if you're a woman of value, you'll get a checklist and it'll have, besides everything mentioned, it'll have a box. And did you check this off today? But I do think that this chapter is saying something profound and something powerful. That a woman whose heart is turned to the Lord, whose soul rises upwards to God, will be an instrument of blessing, will spread the blessings of Christ to the world around, beginning in your own family and those that you're most near to, and even expanding out as we saw in Proverbs 31 that Trevor read. Should be like a river flowing from the throne of God. It starts with your relationship with God, being near to him, and being a blessing then to those in your influence. She'll be like a tree, the psalm says, Psalm chapter 1. She'll be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. She'll be like a leaf that will not wither. It will not wither. So today we're going to look at first this primary virtue, the foundational virtue, which we'll reveal here in just a minute, something you need to cultivate in your life. Second, the rest of us here will hopefully learn why it's important to honor a godly woman who fears the Lord. And third, how this virtue should display itself in your life as a woman. And I have to give a lot of kudos to John Piper. He's a contemporary. He's one of our, in our time, who has done extensive Bible study and looking into the biblical manhood and womanhood. And so having read him over the years, I have to say he influenced me greatly. And so a lot of the notes I share with you today are notes that I've taken over the years with him, being the teacher. So what is this virtue and what does it mean? You probably have already guessed it. Do you know what the virtue is? Fear, humility, maybe, but fear of the Lord. It's not charm, it's not beauty, it's fear of the Lord. This is an attribute and a part of who you ought to be. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, years ago I heard John Piper telling the story relating out of Genesis or Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 20. After Israel had received the law, they were terrified. The mountain was thundering and there was deep clouds and darkness. And you can learn in these verses that while the thunderings and the lightnings were booming all around them and the mountain was shaking, the people were afraid. They were terrified. And they begged Moses not to let God speak to them directly. Please, you speak to us, but don't let him speak to us. We're terrified. We're afraid. And Moses said to them, "Do not be afraid, for God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." And in short, John Piper wraps it up this way. He says, be afraid of God so that you don't have to be afraid. It almost sounds silly. But that's what it says here. Do not be afraid, for God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. What keeps you from sinning is a fear of God. What keeps you from God is when you're afraid of him and you try to hide from him. They were afraid of God and they were tempted to hide. They were tempted to avoid hearing him. They were tempted to avoid coming to him. And Moses wanted them to keep God before them at all times. Don't run. Don't run. Draw near to God. How often do we read that in the Old Testament? Draw near to God. We read it in the New Testament. Draw near to God. Moses wanted to keep God before them in a very reverent way. In such a reverent way that instead of running from God, who is most powerful, God who is opposed to sin, that they would draw near him seeking mercy from him. That's the most important thing you can think of. Oftentimes we find ourselves running from God when we need to run to God. And I don't know that there's ever a right time to run from God. Who do you think you are to run from God? No one of you. None of us could outpace this perfect, awesome, eternal, powerful being with infinite glory. We're often so afraid of God, and instead of reverencing him and turning to him in repentance, we run from him. We hide. I can't pray anymore. I just can't pray. I've ruined everything. That is such a high-handed response to God. Who are you, O man, to talk back to God? We're to reverence God and we're to fear. I love this quote from some Puritan. We're to fear kindling God's powerful wrath against sin. In other words, walk circumspectly in your life to think about how your going and coming affects God. Does it cause him to be filled with anger, if you want to think of it like that? but turn to help him instead for help and for mercy. This is exactly what the Scripture calls us to turn to him rather than run from him, rather than throw your hands up and say all is lost. Hit your knees and seek his help and mercy out of reverence and love for God, out of fear of the Lord. Proper fear of the Lord rightly understands that there is no hiding from him. It's an insult to God when you run from him. As a godly woman, you're showing forth your faith and your trust when you turn to him, not when you run from him. Proper fear of the Lord rightly understands that there is safety in coming to him. Far from thinking God is so angry he's going to wipe you off the face of the earth, you understand that your only refuge is found in God. There's no other hope. And we often fail, and as a woman, you often fail in your commitment to him. And we always fall short of his glory. But what we're called to do is to place our trust in him. Psalm 31, verse 19 says, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you." God is good to his people. Running from him is not where you'll find relief and help. Corrie ten Boom had a great saying, I'm sure you've all heard it. If you look to the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look to Christ, you'll be at rest. So often we spend so much of our time looking to the world for satisfaction or looking into ourselves for help. And God's word says his abundant goodness is always there. And it even says this, "Oh, the praises for God's abundant goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and work for those who take refuge in you." I oftentimes counsel people, oftentimes in marriage situations, oftentimes in young people that I get to coach, I'll say, you're building into a treasury. And your faithfulness as a son or a daughter, a husband or a wife, there is a sense in which you're adding to the wealth of a treasury. So that on the days that you fall and you fail, you can have confidence, not in yourself, but in a sense of having this treasury to draw upon. And it says here, God has a treasury for us that he stores up abundant goodness for those who seek him, those who fear him. But how does rightly fearing God or reverencing God affect your life? Psalm 43, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." The angel of the Lord delivers them. Psalm 103, verse 11, "As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him." Remember, this fear causes us to come near him and not run away. It's the essential doctrine concerning fear of the Lord. You go to him, not from him. You run to him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. A godly woman who fears the Lord will not run away from God to satisfy her longings. Or we can say it this way. She won't run away from the Lord in order to meet her felt needs. If she's needing relief, if she's needing her anxieties relieved, go to God. You think, but it just seems like nothing ever happens. Remain under his tender care. Trust in him. Do you not think that he may have reason for you to have an extended or prolonged period of time of some of the sufferings that you have? A godly woman will not run away. She will wait for the Lord. She will hope in God. She will stay close to the heart of God and trust in his promises. Do you realize men need a good example to follow too? Of a woman who stays put at the foot of the throne of grace. We oftentimes see as men that our job is to go out and solve the problem, take care of business, and find the solution. But we too have to remain under the throne of God's grace. And we need women to set an example. Boys need their mothers to show that example. He goes on to say, the prospect of departing in the way of sin will be too fearful to pursue, and the benefits of abiding in the shadow of the Almighty too glorious to forsake for the woman who fears the Lord. It's the woman who rightly fears and reverences the Lord, who will be the most esteemed. And what matters the most is God, what He thinks and what He likes. Well, the second point is, why is it important to honor a woman who fears the Lord? Maybe most of us would be afraid to give praise to someone for fear that we'll sound like we're just praising the strength of men or women, with human strength, human endeavor. And, oh, I would never give praise to a person, but it says right here in Proverbs 31:30, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's something that we are to do. God's word commands us to honor such a woman. We know, I hope that you know, that when you're recognizing a virtue such as someone who fears the Lord and their life demonstrates it, and you give honor to them, I hope you understand that the source of the grace for fearing the Lord comes from God. That too is a gift from God. It's for her encouragement. And so often we fail in this. We might talk about somebody behind her back of what a wonderful person this is. Or did you see the strength that they showed and their trust in the Lord? And they never hear it. But the Bible says we should honor such a person as this, a woman like this. It should be an encouragement to her. But it also is an encouragement to the rest of the church body. When you hear that, I saw that in her, that is something we ought to honor, that kind of faith. And then you hear when you're hearing the encouragement for that woman who fears the Lord, you're hearing, that's what I'm supposed to do. And then you hear the words, do more of that. And that's encouraging. It's encouraging. Honoring a woman who fears the Lord, it teaches the whole church. It teaches the church to say, that is what fear of the Lord looks like. Or that is what humility looks like. Or that's what service looks like. That's what fear of the Lord looks like. It has a powerful effect on everyone in the church. But you have to think in terms of your influence, women. You have to think of your influence in the lives of your daughters, or the women in the church, or the young women in the church. You play a role in their spiritual development. And it matters. And it's important that we honor a woman who displays godly characteristics. Like one person told me one time, they said, you honored this young man. You honored him way too much. He's going to become proud. You need to watch that. And I said, Let me tell you kindly, but I'll just cut to the chase. Let me tell you, it's the Lord's work to chastise this young man if he runs with it. And guess what? He ran with it. And guess what? The Lord chastised him, but he's walking with the Lord. He had to grow up. Sometimes we bounce between boundaries. We hit between the bumpers. But the Lord loves one who is pursuing by faith to please Him. And it has a powerful effect. Men and boys learn too. I would dare say many of you learned what humility was by watching your mother. You learned what submission means by watching your mother, a strong, godly woman, if you had such a mother. Men and boys learn what this is. Men and boys learn what is a heavy responsibility women have been given. If you become a husband and you marry a woman and she's a godly woman, you learn the responsibility you have, in a sense, to make submission a pleasant thing. Don't run wild where she's walking on a tightrope every day wondering, if you're going to eat or not eat, whether she's going to live or die, whether you're going to have money in the bank or not. Live a responsible life where there's hope and trust, and submission is something that she's willing to do because God commands her to do it, but she's also willing to submit to you because you have created a safe haven wherein she can do this. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, and so should we delight in a woman who fears the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, delight yourselves in yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The things that you delight in, if they're godly, it's because God has placed those desires in your heart. Praising and honoring a God-fearing woman honors God. You may think, yeah, but if we heap praise on somebody, it's going to go to their head. Well, that's not your problem. Let the Lord grow that woman up. But I would dare say, if you're seeing the fear of the Lord, you're seeing these things that are worthy of honor, it's probably because that you're seeing a woman who has matured through trial and hardship and through the discipline of the Lord. If someone praises the behavior of your children, they're saying, your children are great, or you hear them compliment one of your children, you as a parent feel honored. You know that that child didn't grow up learning all this on their own. They were taught. God knows it too. And when someone is honored for godly behavior, God's not mad. He's not up in heaven frowning, I can't believe they didn't recognize me. God is pleased because there is a trophy of my grace. And He's pleased. And so don't hesitate to honor those women in your lives who are honoring God. When we praise someone for their godly conduct, it honors God, from whom all blessings flow, including the power to do right. God's grace to His people graces His people with power to do His will. So praising the person for their godly conduct is ultimately praise to God. Keep that in mind. You just are sharing in this with the person while they're still living, or while they're in your presence, and you're telling that person, do more of that, which is what we talked about already, but it's an encouragement for now. It builds faith and trust in God now. So oftentimes, I know as a younger person, I would see a strong, godly woman, and I thought, they've got everything's going their way. They just must be living a life of pleasantness, of rose petals and rainbows and unicorns or whatever. But it's possible, it's highly probable that the woman who is displaying godly character, who displays the fear of God, is most humble, and probably humble because they've carried and are carrying many burdens, and probably more than you'll ever know. I heard a story years ago about Chuck Swindoll, and he would have men, young ministry students surrounding him, and those men would watch him. They would see him filled with joy of the Lord. They would see him teaching and preaching, and one young man said to him one day in the group, I would give anything to be in your shoes. And Chuck Swindoll turns and says, young man, you couldn't last a moment in my shoes. And he wasn't bragging in himself. He was simply saying, you esteem what I have become, but if you only knew the road that it took to get here. A woman that fears the Lord is one who is battle trained. What's that? Tested. Battle tested and passed the test. It's probably that when you honor such a virtuous woman, that she'll be strengthened in the Lord, and at just the right time, your word may be the very word of encouragement she needed to press on. And it could firm up her commitment to faithfulness. The strongest of Christians still are human. I've used a statement before, the best of men are men at best, they still have needs. The strongest of women are women at best, they still have needs, they still need to be encouraged. Their faith has to be firmed up. Everyone around a God-fearing woman is blessed, but those God-fearing women need to be filled. So what are the marks that identify a woman who fears the Lord? I'm again thankful for the major points here I basically gleaned from notes from John Piper. But the comment he made was she has no concern over future troubles. That doesn't mean she's not troubled, but she knows at the end of the day, God works good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Proverbs 31:25 says, she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. That is the fruit of fearing the Lord. It's not easily learned behavior. You're conditioned to learn this. And who's behind the lessons? Who's behind the teaching? Who is the master teacher but the Lord himself? You have to think about every day the wicked one assaults women with the taunts of tomorrow's trouble. Is this true or not? That the greatest attack you have from the wicked one is he taunts you with tomorrow's troubles. The difficulty for you is that you know that you shouldn't be worrying about tomorrow. And that your call is to obey the Lord Jesus' command who says, give no thought, don't worry about it. And there's where a spiritual battleground is set in your life, and you're set on that battleground. So it's not to say you have no fear of future troubles, it's to say that you battle against those anxieties and fears, and you stay in the game. You don't leave the battlefield. You fear the Lord because you know that he has the power and the strength and the glory. If fear of trouble or fear of the innumerable possibilities of troubles, and if you're, I'm sure as a woman, you can say, I can think of a million possibilities of future troubles, right? It's just the way you're wired to think a lot of thoughts about a lot of things a lot of the time, right? If fear of trouble or the fear of innumerable possibilities take hold of a woman or takes hold of you as you listen to this, the risk is it melts into the sin of not fearing God. If these fears take hold, you're susceptible to regressing to the sin of not fearing God and instead running. I tell you this now so that when you're having these fears and you're full of anxiety and you're thinking to run to something else rather than fall on your face before the throne of grace to seek help, you know that you're being tempted to melt into that sin of not fearing God. And she will run. A woman will run. A woman can run just as easily from God as a man can. But let's help her stay put under the trial, under the concern, that she would bring it before the Lord. Tahupomeno, stay put, persevere, and let's help her. You don't help your wife or your mother or your sister or the young girls if you say, what's your problem? Get over it. I'm fed up with you being all fearful and worried and all that kind of stuff. Don't. Help. Instead, don't cut down. Help. I will pray for you. I will pray with you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. God hasn't left you. God hasn't forsaken you. He's not writing you off because you're having these anxious thoughts. Trust in him. Think the things God wants you to think about. He's prescribed it for you in Philippians chapter 4. Because if you don't help her, she'll run. But God is so gracious that if she just looks for a moment to God, if you as a woman just for a moment turn your Turn your heart to God, toward Him. For a moment, trust in His promises, just for a glimmer. God is at your right hand. You discover He's right there and has been all along. And that's how she can laugh, as He says, she can laugh at the troubles ahead. She can laugh at Satan's taunts. Even when you're taunted to fear about a thousand things, you can laugh and say, isn't that crazy? I'm thinking like this, but God is able. My body may do all this stuff to me. I might be having these thoughts, but I am not a slave. I belong to God, and He is able. That is powerful. In the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, a person has strong confidence, and his children have a refuge. The effects of fearing God, even poorly, a person is never going to think, I'm fearing God perfectly. My fear of the Lord is so weak, but I fear the Lord. That is powerful and effective. In the moments of failing, though, and most of you will fail and have, in the moments of failing, a woman who fears the Lord will not run from God, but instead she'll run to God seeking mercy and help. Claim that from Hebrews 4:16. And as hard as it is when you know you failed to go to the throne of grace, that's the only place to go. To run from God would be to say you're not able. To run to God is to say you are able. You are gracious. You are merciful. A woman who fears the Lord has wisdom for all seasons. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Isn't that remarkable? There, fearing the Lord will express itself through wisdom, the wisdom of God. Ultimately, it shows forth the life of Christ. Christ is wisdom from God. So you're being asked, fill me more with yourself when you're asking for wisdom. And fear of the Lord is the beginning. He will oppose all who in their pride think that they do not need to fear Him. And that fear we're talking about, remember, it has to do with fearing, displeasing a holy God. Wanting to live a life that's right and pleasing for Him. And we're talking to Christian women, so we're saying, having been born again, this is the life you are to live. This is what fear means. Proverbs 31:26 tells us that the fear of the Lord makes her words wise. It says this, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. A wise woman is a woman that you can listen to, learn from, pay attention to, turn your ears on and gain understanding. The world needs the wisdom of God-fearing women. We live in a very disgusting world that is filled with hilarity, goofing off, hardly a serious word about anything at any time. And if it is serious, you're shouted down. The world needs the wisdom of God-fearing women. It's she who hopes in the Lord. But if you failed in this, and I'm serious, as I talk to you women today, if you failed in this, you think, boy, I'm falling so short. I just want to encourage you, don't run from the Lord. There's nothing else to say. Go to Him. Turn to Him. Run to Him right now. If you say, I have not been very wise. I remember my wife a long time ago. I forget what we were talking about, but we were studying Scripture, and it said, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously without finding fault. It had to be 1985, and you prayed that prayer, Lord, I want wisdom. I want to be wise. Well, there's two good things happen, two biblical things that need to be recognized. One, you're recognizing God as a source of wisdom. Two, you're seeking something that he wants to give, and he does give it. But it doesn't come overnight. Through many dangers, trials, and snares, I have already come. This wisdom comes through experience, through trials, through hardship. And maybe you've not been taught and trained to know that it is the very trials, the troubles, the hardships that God has intended to draw you near to himself. When you come to the end of yourself and you look at your own life, and we talked about anxiety, and the anxiety is big in our world in which we live, and it always has been. The Bible talks about anxiety a lot. But the very thing, a malady that is facing our world today, God has the remedy. It doesn't mean you won't have anxious thoughts, but you bring those anxious thoughts to him. And God will give generously without finding fault. Marks of a woman who fears the Lord is she is strong and she's clothed with dignity. Proverbs 31:25, she's clothed with strength and dignity. And the strength of dignity could be physical strength, but it's also, maybe more importantly, a moral, spiritual strength that's anchored in the faithfulness of God. And it's characteristic of God-fearing women. You may think, I'm so weak, but I know I fear the Lord. I know I want to live pleasing to him. You've been clothed with strength and dignity. Proverbs 23:17 says, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all day. It takes a spiritual strength to do that. A steel type spiritual backbone that's been trained oftentimes through the dark nights of the soul and through failure and through times where you thought, there's no way I can be of any account to God. But yet you persevered, and that is worthy of honor. Continuing in the fear of the Lord will strengthen you. It'll help you resist strong temptations, especially the enticement to desire the things that God tells you you cannot have. That's what temptation comes down to anyway. God says, here's what I give you. Temptation says, you can have something more, something else. But fearing the Lord will keep you safe. This God-fearing woman will live a sacrificial life of love for others. You saw it in Proverbs 31:10-28. All the different things that was so sacrificial, getting up at long before dawn, just staying up late at night, thinking no woman can do that. You're right. But listen, there's power in living a life of fearing the Lord. The evidence is shown in a sacrificial life to others. Those verses we looked at, they're a picture of the broad spectrum of influence of Christ in the world through believing women and through those women who purposefully set out to fear the Lord. This kind of woman is a woman whose heart is aflame for God. And I want to ask you today, is your heart aflame for God? And I guess this is where the hard word comes. You need to be challenged, and men need to be challenged too, but I'm speaking to women today. And as I was writing this and thinking through it, I was convicted. So is my heart aflame for God? It oftentimes expresses itself when you look outside of yourself and you serve others. You serve your family. You serve your neighbors. You serve ones. You help them. You encourage. Rather than turning inward and saying, I don't have time for anybody, you turn outward and say, how can I manifest the love of God today? It begins with a heart aflame for God, a heart that fears the Lord with a holy heat. That kind of life has far-reaching influence. And it's tiring. It's hard. But the woman who fears the Lord in her weariness will be a woman who prays that God will give her strength again. I heard a story a week ago. I know I'm going to cry, but I'm going to try. Be strong. Clearing out my mom's apartment. And I couldn't get the water turned off to the washer and dryer. I had to get it out of there. We're down to our last day. So I got the maintenance man that had come to my mom's aid dozens and dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of times in the years my mom lived out there. And I thanked him for coming over. I had talked to him quite a bit before this day. And I thanked him. I said, I can't thank you enough for all the times you looked after my mom. And he's a big guy. He said, let me tell you something, buddy. He said, for 15 to 20 years, I have been so angry with God. I mean, angry with him. I hated God. I hated people around me that were happy, that were probably Christians. Somebody here would call with a complaint, and I'd be so mad, you know. I'd be mad at them that they had a water leak. I'd be fixing it, and they'd be complaining about their carpet ruined, their ceiling ruined, the paint ruined, the smell. I've got people coming over now. And he said, just complaint, complaint, complaint. He said, and then your mom comes along, and she has a leak, and it was a really bad leak the first time he met her. And he said, but she wasn't complaining, but I still was angry, and I still didn't like her, because she was one of those people that had a leak in her apartment. But she was so nice to me, and she was kind, and she thanked me, and she gave me some bread or cookies or whatever. And he said, all the time she was always doing something nice to all of us on staff. But it didn't help me in the sense that I was still angry. But over time, your mom, like a dripping faucet, kindness, 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 kindness. And she would be flooded. My mom had a lot of floods in that apartment, but maybe they've got them all taken care of now that she's gone. But she didn't complain. She never once raised her voice. She never insulted. She never complained. She always gave us something. She gave us goodies all the time, cookies. And I know my mom did not feel good for a long time. But she did what she could not do apart from God honoring her fear of him. So James says the last time that she was alive that she had a flood, we had to take out her vanity, we had to fix her ceiling, we had so much we had to do. So she was out of that bathroom for 2 or 3 weeks, I think it was a long time. And he said, I was putting the vanity in, and I'm angry as always. I'm just so frustrated. I'm not mad at her. I actually look forward to going to see your mom. I hope she had trouble so I could go and work. And he said, I'm working in there, and I'm stretching to reach something, and your mom comes in to me, and she put her hand on my hand. Oh, she thanked me again for being there, doing all this hard work, and I'm like, yeah. She put her hand on mine and patted my hand. She said, James. And I said, yeah. She said, James, look at me. And I looked up. She said, God bless you. He said, my heart shattered. My anger went away. I cried out in my heart to God. And I trusted him. And I believe in Jesus now. And he said, I'm going to church every Sunday. The very thing my mom had been on him for a long time. And I said, wow. No, I've never heard that story. My mom never told it. But a life of sacrifice that was motivated by fear of the Lord. Your life can have meaning and purpose, even when you're not at your physical best. I think it was a day or two before. In fact, she was going to bake something the day she had her final demise. Didn't feel good. But a godly woman will live and express the self-sacrificing love of God in many different ways. If she were still here with us, I can say, such a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And I believe that to be true about you women who are here today. So let's not be short in praising those godly women in our midst. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this message, and I pray that it would have an eternal effect in the lives of every woman and girl here today. In Jesus' name, amen.